You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
APT-3, also known as Gothic Panda, is fingered as an agent of China's Ministry of State Security. An unreleased Disney flick is held for ransom. WannaCry may be sloppy, but it's still dangerous. OT has a harder time patching against WannaCry than IT does. The Shadow Brokers are back and still talking crocodile, how to be preemptive against phishing, and WikiLeaks releases more of Vault 7. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, May 17, 2017. The spread of the WannaCry ransom worm worldwide remains this week's leading story, and we'll turn to it later in the podcast. For now, we'd like to cover other material that may have gotten lost in all the WannaCrying. Recorded Future announced this morning their conclusion that APT-3 is being run on behalf of a Chinese government agency, the Ministry of State Security. APT-3 is also known as Gothic Panda. There's a panda bear family out there that's no more related to Cozy Bear and Fancy Bear than raccoons are related to grizzlies, or for that matter, President Xi to President Putin. APT-3 is generally held to have been responsible for Operation Clandestine Fox, Operation Clandestine Wolf, and Operation Double Tap. Clandestine Fox was a use-after-free exploit against Microsoft Internet Explorer discovered in April 2014 by FireEye. It was found in defense and financial services networks. Clandestine Wolf exploited an Adobe Flash Zero Day. It was served up in phishing emails to targets in the aerospace and defense, construction and engineering, tech, telecommunications, and transportation sectors. DoubleTap, described by FireEye in November 2014, exploited multiple known vulnerabilities in Microsoft software, including remote code and privilege escalation bugs. It was distributed by spear phishing and showed a reliance on social engineering as opposed to difficult-to-come-by zero days. The common denominator in all three operations is, of course, espionage. And the list of clandestine wolf targets suggests that the espionage is in large measure economically motivated industrial espionage. Last week, on May 9th, tipsters, whose identity is unknown but who go by Intrusion Truth, said that APT-3 was the work of Guangzhou Boyu Information Technology Company, also known as BoyuSec for short. Recorded Future undertook an open-source intelligence investigation of the organization, and this morning announced they have high confidence that BoyuSec is doing contract espionage, both traditional and economic, for China's Ministry of State Security. On Monday of this week, Disney CEO Bob Iger told an employee town hall meeting that the entertainment giant was being shaken down by extortionists who threatened to release a stolen copy of a forthcoming Disney movie. The Hollywood Reporter said Iger characterized the demand as a huge sum in Bitcoin. Disney refused to pay, and true to their evil words, two digital copies of Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales turned up this morning on Pirate Bay, that gray market emporium for all sorts of things swiped, swapped, or stolen. Dead Men Tell No Tales is slated for release this Friday. The files are thought to have been stolen from a post-production vendor who was adding dialogue to the movie. One of the hardest attack vectors to protect against is phishing. It's just human nature that a certain number of people, no matter how well trained, are going to click the link in the phishing email. Area 1 Security specializes in protection against phishing, and they caught our eye with a system they describe as preemptive defense. Oren Falkowitz is CEO at Area 1 Security.
We find statistically that when attackers send simple, very unsophisticated plain phishing messages to organizations, if they send just 10, there's a 90% success rate of one person opening the message, clicking on a link, downloading a file, entering their username and password.
And so you're describing something that you refer to as preemptive cybersecurity. What does that mean?
Statistically today in the cybersecurity industry, organizations learn about a year after they've been breached or had damage that they've been a victim of a cyber incident, which the root cause of was phishing. And so the idea behind preemption is to take an action at a point in time where you can see a different outcome, where no data is lost, where no machines are impacted, where no networks are breached. And it turns out that there are also really good corollaries in life for this method, and applying them to cybersecurity makes a lot of sense. So a good example of this would be a flu vaccination. You know, every year there is an outbreak of the flu, there are new strands of it. But humans, people, right, they don't walk around in fear of someone coughing on them. They take a vaccination to protect themselves. And the same thing can apply in this space where we identify proactively hundreds of thousands of phishing websites and other, you know, phishing attacks that go against organizations, that go against people, and we can give them a vaccination before they cause damage.
So how does the technology like this work? Are you analyzing links that people click on? What's the process?
Attackers in the cybersecurity space have set up their phishing campaigns in a way that they exist before they get sent to users, before they get distributed. And so what we focus on is creating technologies that, one, can identify and can learn what are those patterns of attack before they impact the user. And the second is technologies that take action on behalf of our users to vaccinate them in real time, to protect them so that they don't have to think about it and they can go about their job without the worry of being coughed on. If an attacker was to send an email with a link to a website that looks like a commercial banking login, right? A website that looks like you're logging into your bank. Well, I would just analyze the link and tell you that this is a malicious page. But you'd have to do that in such speed, right, that you know, there's still some risk for damage. What it turns out is that that website, before it can be sent to the user, before it can be embedded as a link in an email, that website has to exist and it has to be accessible on the World Wide Web. And part of our sensing technology is finding those sites before they are ever sent. And so we're able to preempt them so users don't have to worry and we don't have to analyze them in the moment. We go ahead and find them before, and that is the notion of preemption.
That's Oren Falkowitz. He's from Area 1 Security. Returning to WannaCry, the ransomware campaign is so massive and unselective as to amount to a pandemic affecting old, unpatched, pirated, or beyond end-of-life Windows systems. Their take has now risen above $70,000 in payoff money, but that's small change when contrasted with the number of victims. Their back end is essentially manual, and the victim interface doesn't look up to snuff either. A few people have recovered access to their files by paying up, but most experts are cautioning victims against taking that route. The criminal infrastructure is so dodgy that the odds won't be in your favor. The advice people are receiving is to patch their software and back up their files. But for one important class of the affected systems, that advice may be less than helpful. We hear from Industrial Control System Security experts Joe Weiss of Applied Control Solutions and Eddie Habibi of PAS. They point out that many ICS are built on vulnerable versions of Windows, but that those versions were all modified and adapted by the big industrial control system vendors to handle complex systems of systems that can't tolerate downtime. Patches must be thoroughly tested for unintended consequences before they're applied to industrial systems, and thus such systems have a patch cycle inherently longer than the ones you may be accustomed to for the business software on your office's laptops. So, if you're one of the suits at a highly automated manufacturing plant or utility, go easy on your sysadmins. They're not being lazy or negligent, it's just that patching is a far tougher challenge in their world than it is elsewhere. The shadow brokers are back and talking. Their leak of the Eternal Blue exploits enabled the WannaCry pandemic. The brokers continue their implausible charade of monetizing exploits allegedly stolen from NSA, while simultaneously saying they're really in it for the glory of facing off against a worthy opponent. That is, those Professor Moriartys, those jokers, those Dr. Dooms of the Equation Group. The shadow broker said yesterday they'd taken the month of May off to watch WannaCry and You're Fired, that is, L'Affaire Comey. But they promised to be back in a big way in June, when they say they'll launch a monthly leak subscription service. Finally, WikiLeaks has dumped another set of Vault 7 documents. These purport to originate with the CIA. Some of them are said to describe methods of impeding PowerPoint and degrading the quality of presentations composed in the popular presentation software. The wording in the documents suggests the authors think PowerPoint users have it coming. Should we take this to mean that Langley is full of Edward Tufte disciples? Maybe not.
Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Dr. Charles Clancy. He's the director of the Hume Center for National Security and Technology at Virginia Tech. We wanted to talk today about the Vault 7 and the Shadow Brokers releases of information. And really, you wanted to contrast the two of them.
I did. I think it's important to understand when you hear about all these leaks of cyber capabilities from now both NSA and CIA, that there's a difference between leaking tactics, techniques, and procedures, or so-called TTPs, versus the actual tools themselves, the actual code behind zero-day exploits, for example. So if you look at a lot of the data that's been released so far, particularly in the Vault 7 leaks, it's been mostly documents, PowerPoint, that really talk about how the CIA does what it does. And based on that, some security companies have been able to fingerprint certain TTPs and attribute with some degree of confidence a wide range of hacks across the world to the Vault 7 TTP. fees. Shadow brokers, on the other hand, is more than that. It includes a lot more of the source code, which is has an even greater devastating impact, because now you're not just fingerprinting attacks and building defenses against the techniques and procedures that are being used, but you actually can build sort of malware, specific malware identifiers and hashes that can be used to detect and block the actual exploits themselves. So there's a lot of debate ongoing right now as to the total impact. I think the folks that are in the trenches and the intelligence agencies who are working these problems would claim that there is a huge impact in national security as a result, collectively, of these leaks. But at the same time, there are plenty of unpatched computer systems out in the world, and there is lots of opportunity to be had just doing basic run-of-the-mill phishing attacks against unpatched Windows computers, which remains the largest threat surface that hackers, whether you're part of an intelligence agency or organized crime, leverage today.
While these releases of information are certainly interesting and damaging, you know, sometimes the old-fashioned ways are the easiest ways in.
Indeed. So for those that are looking to have a good defense against these sorts of things, please just keep your software up to date, have antivirus installed, and basic cyber hygiene will win out most of the time.
All right. Dr. Charles Clancy, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program, quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.